This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and we are at the Austin Airport in Austin, Texas, about to board my Magic Carpet and head out to Nashville, Tennessee, where I'm going to be meeting up with Tom Vorjahan, and from there on over to Pigeon Forge for the 50th annual and final Winter Carnival of Magic. Let me just say up front here, it's often said, why is this the final one? Well, the reason being is that Dollywood is the major attraction in Pigeon Forge, and it's now going to be open for the year round. And it typically opens, I guess, in sometime early March or sometime around that time. And as a result, there is an off-season for the hotels to give better rates. Well, now that they're going to be open here around, the rates will be high all the time, which will make it less affordable, I guess. Not unaffordable, but less affordable for the convention organizers to get an attractive rate to get the registrants to come back. So it just so happens this is the 50th, and so they're figuring there's no way we can get another better deal than what we've been getting over the last few years, so this is going to be it, 50 and out. And they are doing it up in style with some of the people coming back who haven't been there in years, and a few new surprises as well. I know it's going to be great. Registration has been higher than usual, but there's still room available as you're listening to this. If you want to come tomorrow, please do consider coming to register for this great convention, because it's going to be a lot of fun, guarantee it. And I know I'm going to have a lot of fun. I'm excited about being actually a part of it, and we'll get into that a little bit later then too. But once we get over to Nashville, I'm sure we'll get a chance to talk with one of the organizers, who is one of the chief cook and bottle washers, and that is Tom Vorjahan. So we'll chat with him on the other side. So, I, by the way, have decided I know how to work this Austin airport as far as donuts go. And that is actually to get my donuts in advance. So that's what I did, since I live near Round Rock, and I went there just to visit with my cardiologist on Friday. So while I was there, I went to Round Rock Donuts, which is world famous for their donuts. You know, they're right up there with Voodoo, and I can't think of anybody it's better. Well, Dunkin' Donuts is awfully good then too, but Voodoo Donuts are great, and Round Rock Donuts make an amazing one also, and they've got two locations, one in Cedar Park and one there in Round Rock. Anyhow, I ate one on Friday, one yesterday, and so I've got a two-day-old donut that I'm going to finish here shortly that is a chocolate eclair filled with Bavarian cream. Yum, yum. And a little hot coffee. Speaking of coffee, I've got to go find some right now. I don't have any with me right now, but I got to get a little eye-opener, because I've been up since 3 o'clock this morning in order to catch this early magic carpet. Yeah, as I said, Austin Airport's not convenient for me. It's about an hour's drive, even on Sunday morning. And then, believe it or not, we got like a 45-minute wait in the TSA line. I don't know what's up with that. I mean, it's not like South by Southwest is here yet. That's a big thing, and that's going to be coming up in about a week or so. And I was part of that a few years ago, and it just is off the hook crazy. A whole other story. Talk to you guys later on the other side once we get into Tennessee. Till then, this is Scotty out. We have arrived in Nashville, Tennessee, and been here for a day or two, and now in the car heading towards Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, where we're going to be hosting the convention for the 50th Winter Carnival of Magic, and I am in the passenger seat, better known as the navigator seat, I guess, so I get to see the accident coming. And driving the vehicle, piloting here today, is the organizer, one of the chief organizers for the Winter Carnival, Mr. Tom Vorjahan. Hey there, Tommy.
Hey, Scott. How are you doing, bud?
I am fantastic. So we're having it in Pigeon Forge, and a long time ago they changed this. Since it's the 50th, there's so much history and everything going on with this convention. And they moved it from Gatlinburg. When and why?
We started at a Ramada Inn for the first 3 years, and then the Ramada didn't want to host it anymore, and we moved across the street to Mills Auditorium, which is part of the convention center. And after
in
our
Gatlinburg?
In Gatlinburg, yeah. So it was there for 27 years, and after that, which would have been our 30th convention in 2004, They were going to remodel, a two-year remodel job, and they said, oh, by the way, once we remodel, the room you're in will no longer exist. So they were going to make it a much bigger convention center for bigger things and didn't need 200-300 people from magicians coming. So we went, okay. And Mike Stratman headed out on his own and found the Country Tonight, who would rent us the theater. And so that was how we started. So in 2005 until the present, excluding a year for COVID, obviously, this is our 20th convention at the Country Tonight.
Well, that's pretty interesting.
So that's in Pigeon Forge now, Scott.
And that's what?
Pigeon Forge.
So Pigeon Forge, right.
Yeah, a lot of resistance moving from Gatlinburg to Pigeon Forge at first, because there's a certain quaintness in Gatlinburg, and it's more touristy attraction, I think, in Pigeon Forge. So yeah, I got their point, but there was nothing we could do about it. We looked at other places, and it just wasn't going to happen. It wasn't in the cards. So, I mean, the great part is the Country Tonight, we get the whole place. I mean, from the front of the house to the back of the house. The loading docks are ours, where David Da Vinci's going to be loading in his illusions and stuff. We get... they do all the ticket sales for us. It's just fantastic. We get all of their tech crew, curtains, lights, sound. So they have been phenomenal shows in this 1,300 and some seat theater.
And also even the dealers are up front.
Yeah, they're in the lobby. So there's a really expansive lobby. We'll be fitting 20 dealers in there this year, assuming everybody shows up. And we've got... They're all of them, from A all the way to Z. In fact, A to Z is coming.
You mentioned about also in Gatlinburg when they said, well, we don't need a convention. It's only about 200 or 300 people. What do you think is the top registration for your best year back in the day?
You know, back in the day, I still say we had close to 400. I don't know that we ever crested 400. We, in the heyday, we were in the mid-300s and up. It's a lot of people's only convention they go to, and they love it. So we have a lot of regulars who have been to, we lost the final, George Kimmery, I think, was the last one who had been to all of them up until the time he passed. But we had three gentlemen that had been to all of them.
Say, David Ginn had been pretty much most of them.
No, David took a big hiatus in the middle for some reason that I... told him, I said, look, as long as I'm around, you're always welcome.
Yeah.
So he's been coming here the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years pretty regular.
Well, speaking of that registration, I was just thinking about this year. You've got a lot of people who are coming back knowing this is the last one. And so you've got registration of approximately what you said as far as your name tags you've already printed out?
We're about to crest 400 already. So
you're pushing your max you've ever had. This is amazing.
Yes. Yeah. I think we're going to be very, very close to 500, if not passing it.
500?
Yeah. I mean, wow. We usually get about 50 to 100 walk-ups, and I don't see any reason why we wouldn't have the same. Everybody knows that we can't sell out a 1,300-seat auditorium. So
that's what we're looking at, is a 1,300-seat auditorium.
Right. So there's always room. And then we open up the Friday and Saturday night show to the public. It's the only problem I think we've been having so far is some folks get a magician's pass for themselves, and even though the non-magician, spouse, significant other, whatever, who doesn't do magic, can get in for less than half price. It's $119 for those, because we want families to come. It's a great area. Some of those don't buy that pass. They get a ticket just to the show for $20. And now they're mad because they can't go to Thursday night show, they can't go to the close-up show, they can't go to the contest show. So three of the shows that they would be able to see with an on-magician pass, you can't get. We just aren't selling tickets to the public.
I think it's interesting also that you're bringing back a lot of the people who are the, quote, favorites, who have appeared at some of the conventions in the past that people have said, oh, you ought to have them back, even though they haven't been here in 10, 20 years or whatever, for this last convention.
Yeah, I brought several back. I brought Michael Trix back. He'll be closing Friday night show, and everybody's like, I don't understand. You're bringing him back already. And I said, look, If you get three standing ovations in the middle of your show, I'd bring you back too. He was a crowd favorite, to say the least. So if you've never seen Michael Trix, that's worth the trip itself. Thursday night, we're going to close with Stephen Bergazzi. Stephen says, I really want to be on the show. And Stephen's been a regular at us and has helped us out with different things. And he just comes a lot, even when he's not performing. But he said, I want to do the Straight Jacket again. And so he has like a 15 to 18 minute set for his Straight Jacket that he's going to close Thursday night, our opening night show with. Because he hasn't done it. He basically took it out of his repertoire, and he does other things. But he wants to bring it full circle. The Winter Carnival was the first place to hire him to do a stage piece, and that was what he did in his stage show, and he wants to close it out there.
Sounds great. And a lot of others I know. So,
Yeah,
we'll be talking with many of these people throughout the weekend, so be sure to come back each day for a daily report. So, Tom, looking forward to it. This is going to be just another great convention and the last of its kind.
Well, that's Scotty, we can't ignore the fact that you're coming back and you're going to be the MC of the Saturday night show, the final show of the final Winter Carnival.
That makes me so happy in so many ways. And thank you very much for having me. This is going to be great. I've got some very interesting ideas of introducing some of the people. So I think everybody will have a good time. I know I will.
I think it's going to be a fantastic convention folks will talk about for a long time.
I agree. Just like we had talked about that particular year when we had the blizzard. They're still talking about that. So this will be
one of those. Well, that's one of the acts we're bringing back. Giovanni's coming back. Giovanni has not been at the Winter Carnival
since then.
Since 1993. Yeah. When we all got snowed in, he was like, are you sure you want me? I go, as long as you leave the snow in Florida, we'll be fine.
Yeah, I talked to Gio because I remember at that convention I was there and he and I hung out a lot. So it's going to be good to catch up with him then as well. Which, by the way, that while you're listening to this, if you've got some time, you can go back into the archives and just look for that episode with Giovanni. Quite an interesting guy on so many different levels, as creative and everything as he is. So until later, that was Tom Vorjehan. This is Scotty L. Now, I know this is going to be a day and 3 days, actually, filled with talking with a lot of friends, and so it's just going to be one right after the other, and I just walked in the door, and who do I see but Terry Evanswood? Hello, Terry.
Abracadabra.
He has appeared. I think the reason I wanted to talk with him also first is because we are no longer going to be having this convention because Dollywood's going to be open year-round, and that means that perhaps Terrywood will also be
Terry open. Terrywood, I like that, yeah. Yeah,
when we got a new theater. So.
Right. When I first moved here, we had Lee Greenwood, the country. Yeah. Lee Greenwood, the Blackwoods, Dollywood, and Evanswood. So actually, I created a slogan for the city, come to the Smoky Mountains and visit our woods.
I like that.
Dollywood, Lee Greenwood, Evanswood, and Blackwoods. Yeah.
See them all.
It's magic. Yeah.
So a new theater that you had opened recently, and it was interesting the way I liked when you were showing this on Instagram and Facebook and the way that you were showing the different operations of how...
The
development of that, basically. And so now you're wide open.
That's right. We found an empty storefront. It used to be the Birkenstock shoe store. And perfect entrance. It looks like a theater marquee already, mm-hmm. like with the columns. And... perfect space for my own theater now. We seat 80 people, so it's an intimate environment, mm-hmm. but still illusions and sleight of hand and a lot of parlor magic, which I am a big fan of.
Yeah, because it's a more intimate theater than what you've been using.
Yes.
As you've been doing your, as you said before, what is that, a tour of
Pigeon Forge? Yeah. If you don't already know, I started Eagle Mountain Theater for 2 years, Country Night, where we're standing now, for 8 years, Magic Beyond Belief with the Tigers for 3 years, crossed the road to Wonderworks for 10 years, that was a decade there, then went further down the street to the Grand Majestic Theater for 5 years, and finally, it's only been 30 years to set up my own home.
I think you finally know how to do it.
Yeah, I hope this works, otherwise I'm going to have to go back around the circle again.
Well, that's why I say I call this Terry Wood.
Yeah, the only magician in the world touring Pigeon Forge.
Yeah, it's funny. So because of that, and you probably attended this convention a lot.
Sure.
The Winter Carnival.
Many, many years.
Yeah.
I was attending this convention when it was still in Gatlinburg.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and actually I was the one that I put Tom and Jeff Taylor, who manages this theater, put them together because it was a perfect opportunity to move the convention closer, where there's more attractions, more restaurants, a larger theater, areas for the lectures and the dealers. And I had the Hall of Magic, the antique collection, here on the opposite end of the... It just worked out great.
Yeah. No, I think this is a good thing that we have moved here.
Absolutely.
Because, as you said, all the different things that make it the attraction that it is for a family destination.
Sure.
So if people aren't... families aren't wanting to go to the magic shows, there are plenty of other things to do.
Absolutely.
Even though it's a cold time of the year.
Oh, yeah. You know. Especially cold today.
So over the... This is, again, 50 years. You've not been coming for 50 years, but you have been coming for a long time. What's one of your memories that comes to mind of
one
of the better conventions or someone who's performed?
So one of the treats for me was seeing the great Tom Soni, and because I was involved in that production, to hang out with him backstage and be able to watch his act from the side. It was just a wonderful memory. It was quite a performer. I mean, so many, and meeting a lot of new friends and new magicians. Mm-hmm. It's like a family reunion when I walk in here. It's just really such a warm environment. And because we're in this group of people who we all have a like interest and respect and appreciation for each other and the art of magic.
Yeah, yep. This is the place to come. So if you guys are listening to this, and you're anywhere in the United States, you should get on a plane and come here. You still got plenty of days to go on this convention. It's going to be great.
And next week, we open up our full schedule with the theater Monday through Saturday, 7 o'clock every night.
And where can people go to get tickets for your show?
So the website is Evanswood Magic Theater. And
that's R-E, not E-R.
Correct. And all of the information, schedule, pricing, show details are all on there.
There you go.
We'll have three different versions of the show, as always. We'll have the annual summer show, which we're upgrading as we go, getting acclimated to the new space. Then we'll have the Halloween show is back after 6 years absent. That's so much fun. Mm-hmm. Halloween is such a creative time for me, and if you know me, you know I do the haunted house at my home.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the Christmas show for the end of November and December.
Which is another thing. Of course, people can book tours of the
Magic Mansion. Now, I don't have as much of an opportunity because of the new show schedule, but there will be afternoon tours scheduled and probably on Sunday as well.
Very nice. Terry, good seeing you as well.
Good to see you, Scott.
Enjoy the convention.
Thank you.
Magic Word Podcast. I'm Terry Evanswood. Scotty out. So from Blackpool to Pigeon Forge, I run into another guy who is in and out again, and that's Dan Sperry. Hey there, Dan.
Yeah, hello. You people are probably sick of hearing from me every convention now, but it's me again. Hello. We're here. Winter Carnival, the go-home show.
So
it's
you
great.
Were just going to be here for, like I said, for the day, doing a show then opening tonight.
Get in, get out. Try not to get any on you. That's how it is. But I'm doing the show tonight, which is going to be great. Matt Stanley, who I've known since we were teenagers, going back to the old school Magi Fest with the Redcoats back in there. No offense to Andy and Josh, they're great fellas, but you guys, Redcoats. Josh knows because he grew up in clubs.
Jeff Hostetler,
Jeff Hostetler, all those guys that ran it. Them Redcoats were great. And then Hobson, who I've known for forever back in Vegas, we worked the World's Greatest Magic together and then in that Triangle show. And I just worked his place in Southern California.
About to say, when you left Blackpool, you were going to California.
Yeah. So I was just there working his place. So it was good to see him again. And Bargatze, I've known for forever since he was competing and wearing his tuxedo with the checker pants and all that stuff. So it's going to, I mean, all the shows on this are going to be great. But I'm glad I'm on this one because of the other guys on
it. The guys who are all your friends.
It's going to be great. Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
It is going to be a great convention. Have you attended this before? I know you.
Yeah, once a long time ago in like 2003 when it was still in Gatlinburg, before it even came to Pigeon Forge. I was on the show with Fukai, I remember. That was really cool. Fukai from Japan and Kamika.
He was the fire guy, right?
No, he had the parasols. And I don't know. Do we talk about his hair openly or do we just talk about the hair when no one's around? They're just in our small circles. But, you know, but the guy, he has very curly hair.
He did have curly hair.
Yeah,
like very curly. Like a bird nest or something.
Kind of, right. So that was a great show.
Not talk about hair.
Right, what do I know?
Yeah.
But, no, but anyways, so it was a long time ago, but it's definitely
changed. And so when Tom asked me to come here, I was like, absolutely, because I remember it was fun. And I like this part of the country up here in the Smokies. It's really pretty.
Well, it's a nice time of the year that you happen to be here when there's not any snow, but it is a cold. It's not blustery, but it's a little chilly today.
No, yeah, we'll see how it goes. But I'll get out before the blizzard comes, so it'll be all right.
Good to see you. Good luck tonight. I'm sure I'll go well. Break a thread.
Yeah, I hope so. Should be good. Yeah, enjoy the convention too, man.
Where will I see you next?
Then on Saturday, I'm with Masters of Illusion over, I can't remember, some resort area near Jupiter. Not the planet. We'll probably feel like we're on it, but it's over on the east coast of Florida, Jupiter, at some resort. And then Sunday, I got a kids show.
Yeah, Jupiter's not far from your home then, actually, is it?
It's several hours, yeah.
Well, but, by comparison.
Yeah. Compared to Gatlinburg. Yeah. Where are we? Pigeon Forge? Knoxville?
That's right. Whatever. Thanks very much, Dan. Always good seeing you, buddy.
Heck yeah, good to be here.
I want to remind everybody, by the way, in advance that I think this is episode number 887, and coming up for number 900 is going to be a special episode. I always feature a guest that is someone special, and Dan's going to be the one who is number 900 on that coming up. So listen for that. There you go.
Okay, 900. I always bowl or something.
For the Magic Word Podcast. That was Dan Sperry. Scotty out. Still in the lobby and walking around and bumping into one friend after another, and another one who is not only a friend but also one of the performers here that's going to be in the dynamic close-up show. I think that Tom said this is the most expensive close-up show he's ever booked.
It definitely is the most expensive close-up show. I don't know what he's paying other people, but my demand at this was that I got paid at least three times what R. Paul Wilson paid and five times what John Allen paid. So. No, I'm so excited.
So I got Eric Tate, by the way. This is Eric.
I don't think a lot of people realize this, but like Winter Carnival of Magic was the very first convention I ever went to as a kid.
I did not know that.
I learned magic at the Comedy Barn Theater in Pigeon Forge here, just down the street from the Country Night Theater where we are right now. It was the very first magic convention I ever went to. Very first magic competition I ever competed in.
Yeah.
Very first convention that ever took a risk on me and booked me as a lecturer and performer. Mm-hmm. And my Fizimac was born at this convention. So this is a very special convention to me. So when Tom said it was the last one, I was like, whatever it takes, I'm in. Yeah,
I know also that Tom's been one of your mentors and best friends. I mean, you refer to him a lot, you know.
Back when the IBM required two people to sign your application, Tom was the first person to sign my application. Mm. I mean, so, yeah, Tom's been a really important part of my life and career for a long time. So when Tom says, do you want to come to the convention, the answer is always yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to this. This is really going to be good. Do you remember who else is going to be on the close-up show? I alluded to that, but aside, you mentioned John Archer.
Me, R. Paul Wilson, John Allen, Steve Beam.
Oh, that's right.
And Gianna. I can't remember. There's literally so many people on the close-up show. I can't even remember who all's on it. So. And I think there's going to be some surprises too. I mean, like.
And is it going to be on the stage, like with the camera? So it's kind of like a FISM type of a thing, basically.
They've got a huge LED wall with really dynamic camera support, so we're going to be able to like really show off some cool close-up stuff in this convention on this beautiful multi-million-dollar stage.
Are you going to do your FISMAC, or are you going to do something new and different?
No, I'm going to do something different. I think I'm actually going to be doing what I refer to as my borrowed deck castle show. Okay. So I'm going to borrow a deck from the audience and do everything from shuffled deck in use.
Yeah. Okay. Love that. You know, that Paul Cummins book of Fesudu, from a shuffled deck in use. Love that concept.
Yeah. It's kind of the way I like to work, and the fact that I can just do it with a deck that's borrowed from the audience. It gets me closer to my goal of having to bring no props.
Yeah. That's about as self-working as it could be. You just show up and do nothing.
Yeah. No, that's the point.
I mean, I say do nothing. I mean, you bring nothing and you do something.
Yeah.
You
know? Just show up in my bathrobe and do the show.
And then leave the same way.
Exactly.
With the stage strewn with cards. Whatever, and memories and jaws that are dropped.
But you're on the show tonight, right?
I'm on Saturday night.
You're on the big show on Saturday night.
MC.
That's exciting.
I'm very excited. When Tom said that, it gave me goosebumps. I called him back and I said, okay, I want to make sure if you sobered up enough today that you know what you just did by calling asking me to do that.
I think you and I have been friends for years, but I don't think I've ever seen you perform. Very excited.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Yeah. Well, this is gonna be good.
It's gonna be fun.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I've got some exciting things. Here's my baby, Tiffany. And so, Tiffany Alan, or Savage, whatever.
She's about to lecture on the Georgia Magnet stuff.
And I want to hear that. I think it's at 1:30, so I don't want to miss that.
I am very excited. I've always wanted to perform the Georgia Magnet.
Me too.
But I'm getting a little too soggy around the midsection to make it a convincing thing anymore. But I'm really excited because I know she's really good at it. I've seen her do it. I saw her do it at the Tricks Convention in the lobby. We were together. And she was doing it in the lobby, and it was like, it was confounding how good it was.
Yeah. By the way, before we close, that your podcast comes out with Penguin each Thursday?
Every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Mm-hmm. And do you record a lot of those just through Zoom or like this? Do you mean like I've been walking around, you know, I talk to people all the time. Do you make arrangements to go and talk to people over the side?
I make arrangements to talk to people over Zoom is largely the way we do it, because sometimes there's like a YouTube component that Penguin will put up.
That's true, yeah.
But
do you do the video editing or someone else?
Sometimes I do, sometimes somebody else does. It really just depends on...
That's a lot of work.
Who has what on their plate this week?
I see.
And then when I'm at conventions like this, I usually bring my recording equipment and try and set up more lengthy podcasts. I actually leave on Sunday morning. I leave directly from here to go to Las Vegas for the Mystify Magic Convention, and I'm hoping to get a bunch of interviews at the Mystify Magic Convention.
There are going to be some amazing entertainers who are not kind of in the mainstream who will be at that Mystify.
It's going to be great.
Yeah, I talked with, what was her name, Lisa Orleans?
Leah Orleans,
yeah. Leah. And she told me all about it, you know, and that just, I know she was on yours as well.
Yeah.
Talking about that.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun. Between this convention and that convention, I think that there's more talent on these two conventions this weekend than almost anywhere else in the country.
In the country.
Maybe the world. I mean, it's insane.
Well, you know, Blackpool was really good.
Yeah.
But I think that the talent here rivals that.
I agree. Tom has put together an amazing amazing series
of shows. They pulled out the stops. There's a potential. He said there might be 500 registrants here.
That's great. It's sad to see this convention go, but it's great to have it go out on a high note.
He said a couple days ago they had printed 398 badges already.
Yeah.
And they were expecting some more walk-ins and everything then, too. So it's just crazy off the hook because people know it's the last.
Yep.
And you look around, like you were talking about the talent. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, Chris Randall called me early this morning, and I told him, and he said, oh, my gosh. He said, I wish I could come just to hang out. He said, that sounds like the most amazing convention ever. It will be.
And just like the attendees are crazy, too. Like Scott Robinson is, like, here hanging
out.
I mean, this is amazing.
Yeah, there are people just hanging out.
Yeah.
Eric, always good to see you.
You
enjoy the convention. Have a great time, Seth.
You too. Okay. Thanks again, Scott.
For the Magic Word Podcast, that was Eric Tate. Scotty out. Again, in the lobby, I can't make it over into the dealer's room yet because it's crazy. I don't know how people are going to get into the lobby to that. I think you're going to have to wait until someone has a lecture and then leave the lecture to go to the dealer's room. It's the only way you're going to be able to get... Just there's a bottleneck getting in. I mean, once you get in, it looks like there's an opening, but it's difficult. So that's why I'm hanging out here with just a couple other guys who are part of the talent that you're going to be seeing if you come to this convention, and I want to encourage you to do so because you still have time when you hear this episode. There's our Paul Wilson all the way from Glasgow, Scotland. Hello, Paul.
Hey.
And he's got a lot to say, just hey. And then I got also all the way then from the UK is John Archer.
Hello, hey, ho.
See, he says a lot more.
Yeah.
I guess that's what...
He's funny, though.
That's... Yeah. So, first of all, congratulations. You've lost some weight. You look great.
Yeah, I've lost...
You feel good,
Paul's lost some weight as well. He hasn't got to the point where people are noticing yet.
But you will be.
Yeah. But, I've lost about 80-something pounds.
And has that been through a diet or exercise or both or some sort of a...
A mixture of all sorts of things.
Okay.
Voodoo.
Okay.
Exercise. Not eating as much.
Is that right? You just kind of push the plate back a little bit, or do certain foods you mean like more protein or less carbs? Or
just less.
Yeah, just less of everything.
Less calories, yeah.
And not a lot of sweets?
Not a lot. I haven't eaten a sweet for ages.
I've always had a sweet tooth.
Have
you got any?
I'll take one off you if you've got any. I'll kill you for a sweet right now.
And well, I brought a Mars bar with me when I was in England. I still had that in my suitcase. I didn't want Paul to see that when he came over to the room there last evening.
Yeah, the Mars bar duo that was sitting on
the
desk.
Did you see? He saw it.
Yeah, I saw it. I saw it.
So you're going to be in the close-up show. Is that this afternoon or is that tomorrow? Or
Saturday.
On Saturday.
So you were wrong on both counts.
Right. Well, it is this convention, though.
It is this convention, yes.
And from here, you guys have come from what? I mean, what were you just doing? Were you working with Jim Vines? Or were you...
No, we arrived here yesterday. So,
But what were you doing? I mean, were you...
Oh, I've been doing just all sorts at home. It's just I haven't been touring with Tim this year. We finished a tour last year, so I was opening for him on that tour.
Okay.
But, just just gigs, just one-off, you know, right. Private, corporate, bits and bobs.
Do you do many weddings?
I don't do any weddings.
Any weddings?
No.
Yeah, how about you? No. Do you ever do them, Paul? I was going to say, I can't see that either of you guys are...
There is a big wedding market in the UK for right. close-up magicians. A lot of close-up magicians do weddings. I've stopped doing close-up commercially quite a while ago. But even then, I didn't enjoy doing weddings. I've been asked to do cabaret at weddings, and I tend to turn that down because I find most of the people at a wedding want to talk to each other.
You know,
they've got family. Yeah, they want to drink. You know, the groomsmen want to chat up the bridesmaids, and you know, they want to chat with family they haven't seen for years.
Right.
So, and to get them to sort of shut up and look at you on stage doing a show, a lot of times that's not what they want.
Right.
So, I'd rather not.
Yep.
Invade their wedding.
Yeah, I had a very bad experience at a wedding, so you know, I avoid them.
Yeah. It wasn't your own, was it?
Yeah, I got married. Yeah. Nobody told me.
Now, I want to ask you also. We do go into some detail in the episode you and I chatted about with the documentary that you're working on or have completed, I guess, with Juan Tamaris. So, tell the rest of the listening audience here today, what's the status on that, or when can they expect to see something?
It's finished. We're hoping to release a trailer very soon, but just waiting on. You know, there's a legal aspect to all of this.
A legal aspect.
Yeah, we just need to, you know, it's a real film. It needs to be sewn up in all sorts of directions, and it just takes time.
I've had a sneak peek. It's brilliant.
You have?
Yeah, really, really good.
Yeah, you saw the early cut, though. You didn't
yeah,
see
I haven't seen the later cut with a lot of the castle stuff in that you've added, but...
The new one's very different. But yeah, anyway, he's seen it, and a couple others have seen it. Yes.
And when you release it, it will be in a worldwide release, or are you going to be distributing it just in the U.S., U.K., or just kind of incrementally different places?
You know, more than half of it is in Spanish.
Really?
It's all subtitled, of course.
Subtitled, yeah.
But, you know, it's... In Spain, only about 50 million people know and love Juan Tamaris. So hopefully that's our foundation audience. Magicians, of course. But then all these other people that we know, you know, who've never heard of this guy, will find a really delightful, interesting, fascinating individual. And that's the goal, is to introduce him to people who've never heard of him.
Like with Richard Turner, when Delt came out,
correct.
No one had heard of him. It's like, wow, this guy. I mean, I say heard of him. I mean, certainly he's been on a lot of American television.
Yeah.
Right, but they got to know who that person
correct.
Was. And he's a very interesting character in addition to who he is. So
yes.
Very much like that. Oh, you know, for sure. Mm-hmm. Very different type of film, though.
Looking forward to it. Good seeing you guys. Good luck
with
having a good time at the convention. Always good seeing you.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll see you again at some point.
I think so. Okay.
Great.
So the Magic Word Podcast. That was R. Paul Wilson and John Archer. Scotty Allen.
You're going to go get us a bit of...
So, I'm here with Jeff Williams and Ron Hudspeth, and you guys are hanging out in the lobby, just got your name badges, and looking forward to being at the convention. You've been coming, Ron, for ages. We were just talking, kind of like every other year for a long time, you said.
That's true, yep. It's a 9.5-hour drive, so I take it in smaller bundles.
Since you had this experience over the years, what has been something that has stood out for you this convention that might be an event, perhaps a person, a lecturer, a performer you saw, something that could be even outside. I mean, it could be that you had a great meal somewhere. I don't know.
The overall atmosphere is always great. There is more lobby time than just about any other convention that I go to, doing exactly what we're doing here, people talking before it starts. 1 year saw Tom Bergoon here and almost passed out because I was laughing so much.
Yeah.
But it just, they bring in good talent and give them a place to show. It's a great theater, and the whole idea that the infrastructure of the theater is able to support them, I think, makes things flow really smoothly.
Right, yeah. With the big screen TV and everything that they've got back behind there and everything.
Absolutely.
And Jeff, you're going to be performing and lecturing.
Yep, I lecture at 3:30
today,
this afternoon. Yeah, after Tiffany Savage does her lecture, and then I'm with Stephen Bargatze and friends tonight.
Oh, that's right. What time is that?
That's at 8:00.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just a quickie thing. You get up. It's a kind of a teach-a-trick.
Trick.
You got 5 minutes, kind of thing.
Is that all? Okay. I brought three different things for me to teach, but I didn't know if I should choose one or try to do all three, but I think I'm just going to do one.
No, you just want to do one and, you know, just keep it short and simple. Okay. Then I'm in the show tomorrow night, so that's going to be a lot of fun. That's an 8 o'clock show, and then I'm
doing 20 minutes, 15? How long are you doing?
I'm probably going to do about 12 minutes.
12, okay.
Yep. Then I'm going to be in the close-up show on Saturday. So they're using me nicely. So it's, they want to keep me out of trouble.
They're getting their money's worth out of you.
Yeah, I think so. It's I love it though. This is a great group.
And you've come before as well. What are some memories you got of this convention?
I was here 10 years ago to the day, at the 40th, and it was my first time here. Absolutely loved it. I mean, I couldn't believe it was. I was having so much fun. Brian Gillis was there, and David Williamson, and I was in heaven, really was, and I'm really glad to be back.
Yeah, especially for this last one. I mean, everybody, the anticipation is palpable, I guess, is the best way of putting it. I mean, everybody's so excited to be here and looking forward to this convention. It's great.
Yeah, I guess they had just over 160 last year, which was, you know, your standard size for, you know, a regional convention like this. Mm-hmm. But this year it's over 400.
Yeah.
And it's nuts. I mean, this is really something. It kind of rivals a lot of the national conventions with talent. It's incredible.
I think it's not going to rival. This is going to outstrip all the other national, any convention, I think, this year, including Blackpool. I mean, Blackpool had some incredible talent. I mean, you had Terry Fader coming over from Vegas. I mean, my gosh, you know. But they also had Rick Thomas doing a big illusion show. But we've got David Da Vinci doing his big illusion show.
Wow.
Hey there, Chris. And so we've got a lot of people who are going to be coming in for this convention that are just outstanding performers that wanted to be here. You know,
yeah, I'm kind of pinching myself.
Yeah.
You know, being in the same group as a lot of my heroes.
I hear you. So for the Magic Word Podcast, Jeff Williams and Ron Hudspeth, Scotty out. Well, one of the people also who's just in and out, I talked with Dan Staple a little bit earlier, and he told you he's in for a short time. Likewise, I've got another friend of mine who is here who is just in and out, and he's got his own theater to attend to, and that's Jeff Hobson. Hey there, Jeff.
Hi, Scott. Fancy meeting you here. Well, actually, I meet you everywhere.
We do seem to meet in some of the greatest places on the planet.
That's right.
You know. And so how is Marvin's Magic Theater coming along?
It's doing very well. It's going up every year, a few more percentage points. You know, we're always increasing attendance. Things are going well. People are starting to get excited about it. This is my dream team season. I got pretty much everybody who I wanted to in one season.
Wow.
Which is rare. I mean, you know, I got guys like David Williamson, Matt King, John Archer, Raymond Crowe, all in one show, plus all my other favorites.
Wow. And that is, I assume, the TripAdvisor and Yelp. I mean, you're like number one on that.
We are the number one in La Quinta, which is funny because you know what number two is? It's an In-N-Out burger. Now, and that's not a lie.
That is
unfortunately
funny.
Is true, but still, I figure we're better than In-N-Out burger. That's good.
I love In-N-Out, though. That's hard
right.
to beat, you
that's
know,
right.
but you guys beat them.
That's right.
And so when you say season, so you close for a period of time and then reopen?
Yeah, our season is from October through May, possibly June sometimes, depends on our schedule. And then we take the hottest months off, which is July, August, and September.
Because it is a desert, I guess.
It is a desert, and it gets up to 115, you know, 120-ish. And it's one of those things where we just don't want to pay for the air conditioning because we'd never make any money. So we shut down like most of the city does.
Yeah, and is this like in a strip mall area?
It's in a strip mall, yeah. It's actually the busiest intersection of the entire Coachella Valley, Palm Springs area, Washington Street and 111, and it is the busiest area, so we're in a good area.
You say the Coachella Valley, that reminds me, is that where the Coachella concert
That's
thing?
Right. It's only, in fact, if you listen really hard at night, you can hear it all over the city. Oh, yeah.
So that's not just something that happens like at a certain time? I mean, isn't there like
it's
a festival?
It's in April. Okay. It's like 2 weeks in mid-April, and then this third week is called Stagecoach, which is, of course, you know, Willie Nelson and all those guys.
So it's not like Burning Man or anything. That is a, I know,
no,
completely separate. This is a music festival.
This is just a music festival, yeah, but pretty much all over, every people fly in from all over the world. It's crazy.
And different genres, whether it's pop or jazz
everything.
Or country.
All kinds of stuff. Everything. Mm-hmm. Everything's there, yeah.
Do you ever attend, or no, do you try to leave town?
I try. Most people just rent out their houses for like $20,000 a week. Because
that's like Austin is South by Southwest.
That's right. Exactly the same way. People leave and let other people pay their bills for them.
Yeah. I know that... Ray Anderson was saying that for the Esther's Follies, where they perform all the time, that during that time, he said, we're empty. In fact, they rent that because they use
that's
every
right.
venue in town.
That's right. You know? That's right. So it's a smart thing to do, business-wise, mm-hmm. I think.
So it sounds like that things are going, and this is what year for you?
Well, this is now the sixth year, but we minus a year and a half for COVID, so it's the beginning or almost the end of our fourth season now. Mm-hmm. So it's going really well. And you know what? And being here at the Winter Carnival is sort of like somebody called my bluff, and that's why I'm here. Did you hear about this?
You want to tell the story?
Yeah, I'll tell the story. So Tom calls me. He says, hey, you want to do the Winter Carnival's magic? It's the last year. It's the 50th year and blah, blah, blah. And I said, you know, I it's the busiest season right now mm-hmm. for my theater. I really can't leave. And then he says, yeah, but we have this guy and this guy. And he says, we have John Archer. I go, John Archer? You have John Archer? I've been trying to get John Archer for 6 years. I tell you what, I'll make a deal. If you get John Archer to do my theater, I'll come and do your convention. And I'll be dang if he didn't do it. All of a sudden, within an hour, I get John Archer going, yeah, I'll do it. I'm like, what? How come Tom? I don't know what juice Tom has, but he's got something special.
Something over John. So that way it worked out, and so you're here.
Yeah, and John's going to be at my theater next week.
So what are you doing then in the off season? Are you traveling? Are you just kind
of
chill?
Yeah, sort of chill. I'm doing one or two little spots of performing. Sometimes I'll do a cruise ship. Generally, we spend a time at our new home in Upper Michigan. Right on the Little Manistee River and watch the 3-foot-long salmon flap in the water behind our house.
Okay. Yeah. So. You going to be going to Abbott's this year, possibly?
You know, I'm hoping to actually go as a as
just
an attendee.
Yeah, just
I don't think there's ever once I just went the entire week and not done a lecture or performed in all the years I've been going there. So this should be hopefully I can make it, and I think I can.
Yeah, because weren't you part of that group that was in the contest that year?
Yes, the Triple Threat in 1977. Yeah. It was Lance Burton, myself, and Matt King. First, second, third place. Yeah, yeah. And then we, it was a blast. That was fun.
That was a lot of fun. Well, I hope to see you there this year then, too. Well, good luck.
Good. Well, thank you very much. And looking forward to tonight. And this being the last, the 50th is very special. So I'm touched that I'm here, actually. And I'm very happy I'm here. So
this is going to be an awesome show then this evening.
Yeah,
thanks very much, Jeff.
Always
good seeing you.
You
so for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Jeff Hobson. Scotty out. The evening is over. We just finished the Teach a Trick thing, and we also had the evening show, and I thought we would just kind of do a quick recap right here with Steve Beam, because he was one of the performers here with the Teach a Trick, and also going to be here this weekend, and also someone that I had recommended that you go back and listen to our episode we had chatted back in 2011 for one of the earlier, I think it was the earliest a convention report that was one of the lost episodes from the Magic Word. That's right. So, Steve, good to see you, man.
Good to see you, Scott.
You having
always.
A good time?
I'm having a great time. This is they're really knocking it all out for the 50th.
Now, you've been coming for a long number of years. What is one of your favorite memories?
Well, interestingly, this is actually, see if I can say this correctly, my first convention was Little Rock Convention, the IBM, in 1975 in Little Rock, Arkansas, the IBM convention. This was my second convention in 1976, and it was their second convention. So I've been coming for 49 of the years, and I actually attended...
Every year?
No, I actually attended 45 of those 49. So I've actually been coming for 49, but attending 45 of those.
I knew there had to be somebody who would be at 50 or near 50 because... I mean, it's only 50 years.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it's not bad.
I mean, I'm 73. If I would have started when I was 23, which would be reasonable, I could have made them all.
I was in college for my first one. Yeah, went came up here with Hank LaLuce and blew it out and had a great time and beautiful convention.
I had come to some of the earlier ones also, and in fact, I remember Frank Furke having parties and his wife. And
Frank and Jerry.
Jerry, that's right.
From Atlanta.
That's right. That was so fun. And... it was kind of funny because I was just walking back my room and two guys walked into the hotel and they said, are the dealers still going to be in the hotel like we used to be? And I said, man, that was a long time ago.
There you go. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, it's really come a long way and it's different than it used to be. It used to be in Gatlinburg, of course. Now it's in Pigeon Forge and I don't even know how many years, but I'm sure it's 20 plus.
I think Tom Borjan told me that I moved in 2002.
to Pigeon Forge.
Okay, so it is 20 plus, 23, I guess.
23 years, yeah.
Yeah, right. And, I mean, you know, both places had their advantages. This one is difficult to highlight close-up magic because the auditorium where you do close-up, it's a coliseum. That's true. I'm guessing
even
it's
even with the TV screen still.
But, you know, I think people prefer to see live close-up, and they used to break it up into, like, six shows when we were in Gatlinburg, but you had six rooms. Here, you've got a beautiful theater. Seats, I don't know, 1,000 people, I would guess, or close to it.
It's about 1,200, I think.
Okay, actually. There you go. Yeah. And so, but that's also not ideal for close-up, but they've done a lot to make it worthwhile and make it work, and, you know, I have a good time when I'm here, and I think everybody does.
I think we all have a great time. It is a lot of fun here. As I said, we just finished then the evening show, and it was hosted by Matt Stanley.
Right.
Open with Dan Sperry, and I was sitting next to Mike Stratman. He said, you know, I haven't seen Dan perform in a while, but that's not what I remember him doing before. And I said, yeah, he's kind of changed. He said, that is fantastic. I said, that's about the best I've seen Dan. He's just really, really good.
It's good stuff. I was fortunate enough to see him just a few months ago, and as did you, in Myrtle Beach.
Myrtle Beach, right.
And I thought it was great, and what I saw today was different, but I also enjoyed it. Yeah. Yeah. I've seen some of this stuff before, but it's been several years. So
and I just saw him a couple weeks ago in Blackpool, and he still did different stuff.
Well, there you go. Yeah. So he's got a deep quiver.
He really does. And then we, after that, saw, let's see, who was next after that?
Let's see.
I know Matt Stanley had come on. It was Jeff Hobson.
It was Jeff, yes. There we go. And I thought I saw him do a routine I hadn't seen him do. The water routine was just outstanding.
I laughed at that.
I continually laughed, I think, pretty much the whole time he was performing it. So I thought that was terrific. Never seen that before.
No, that was hilarious.
Yeah.
Then Matt did his bit that was funny and had a little twist on the metal epic.
Very good.
There at the end. And then finishing up with Steve Ragazzi doing his straight jacket.
Always funny. I could watch that over and over and still laugh.
Yeah, it was hilarious. Yeah. And he had done that apparently some 20, 30 years ago.
I saw him do it 20, 30 years ago.
Did you remember
ago.
That?
Yeah, it was actually 93, I think.
Okay. Going back to that
snowstorm
we
yes,
had.
Yes.
Yeah, the 24 inches in 24 hours, that was really something.
It was really something. And I don't know if you, well, I guess you do know, they closed the road. You know, one road in. Mm-hmm. The same road that comes into Gatlinburg goes out of Gatlinburg. So. The problem with that, it's great, you know, it just goes right through the middle. And the problem with that was when you got all that snow and the wind, it blew the trees over on that road going out of town both ways. And so we spent an extra night in town, and they managed to talk to the folks who ran the convention center and said we needed the place for another night. So we put on a show, and I was actually on that show. Mm-hmm. And they got volunteers. I think, I'm trying to remember the name of the gentleman, Warren, who emceed that? Do you remember?
Warren Capps?
Warren Capps, yes. Yeah. He emceed it, and it was an impromptu show, but it was a stage show done by people who didn't know they were going to be doing anything.
Yeah, it's kind of like somebody said, do you have a lecture, you got extra stuff, do you want to be in the show? And so they were just going to put the whole day together.
Absolutely. Then just a quick little handle for what happened to me is the next day, got in the van. They announced the roads were open, so we left at 11 a.m. This was on Monday. We were supposed to leave on Sunday. Left at 11. We drove about 60 miles until 9 o'clock that night. And, that's 10 hours, and we got, you know, 60 miles.
Yep.
And then came to a grinding halt and spent the night on the interstate because the entire interstate was backed up for over 100 miles from here to Asheville, to Asheville, because a couple of trucks jackknifed on an overpass. And so we spent the night until 5 a.m., and 5 a.m., a highway patrol came around with the sirens going and microphones saying, everybody wake up, it's time to go. And slowly we got moving, but you had to wait till everybody in front of you moved, and then we could move.
I didn't have that issue, but mine was, when I got to Knoxville, it was too late. Missed the last plane, and there was no place to stay, and so we literally slept on the floor at the airport.
Oh, perfect.
Until took the next flight out.
I would take
morning.
A heated airport, though, over over a van that didn't have any gas, and so there weren't any gas stations open on the way out. They'd all been exhausted. So anyway, every hour I would turn the van on, get the heat going, and then cut it off. I'm being real stingy with the gas because I didn't want to run out of gas to make the whole thing a complete debacle.
Because then whenever they said, okay, let's get going, you said, I can't.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to be the guy holding up everybody behind me. Not going to happen.
Well, another thing that happened, of course, then, is one of the funnier acts was the one that you did impromptu with the color-changing snowballs.
Oh, yeah. Well, talking about I put together, they asked me at 5 p.m. to be on the 8 p.m. show. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I've got nothing other than a deck of cards. And at that point, I'm guessing there were 400, 450 people. And I mm-hmm. thought, well, they've seen me do card tricks before. So I quickly got to thinking about what I could do. And so I went out and got snow. I did manage to buy a cooler. I bought some food coloring. So, you know, we'd be with yellow snow, there are jokes there. Yeah. You know, I did color-changing snowballs and blue balls. You know, there were some jokes that were built in there. So anyway, did that. And the funny thing was, I was on the way out on Monday morning, and Diane Maney, who ran the Atlanta Harvest, she said, Steve, we want to book you in November to do that show. And I go, Diane, you realize that unless you have a snowstorm, I don't have a show. And she goes, oh, yeah, I guess so. But anyway, it was nice of her to ask.
Did you do stratospheres also with the snowballs?
No, but I did a card to snowball. I did a...
There's a string of them also.
The string... I did do a stacking of them. I forget what the stacking was, but I also did, because I only did it once, and that's been since 93, so, you know, long, you know, 30, 32 years ago.
It was an improvisational thing, yeah.
Yeah, but I remember, he was here tonight.
Giovanni.
Giovanni, yeah. Giovanni did a nut off of rope.
Yep, off rope, yep.
And he kept on repeating certain things.
And variations on that.
Yeah, exactly. And so I did the snowball off rope, which basically, you know, if you grab a handful of snow and you squeeze it onto the center of the rope, it just sticks there,
right.
Ideally. But that night I couldn't get it to do it. And it had worked, you know, 2 hours early, worked perfectly. And I guess it had slushified or whatever. So I was trying to put it on there. And I was squeezing it, and then I'd let go, and it'd fall off. And so I kept on getting more snow, and my hands were start turning blue. it's really not like this. I'm worth this.
Yeah.
So I managed to get the rope horizontal, and then I balanced the snowball on there, and it held just enough. Long enough for me to tie the knot. And then the whole trick was it came off by just closing the knot, pulling the ends of the rope, and it squeezed the snowball in half. Anyway, it was experimental, and some experiments work, some don't. But
I appreciate that.
Yeah, but it went fine. It went over well. So enough to where Diane wanted to book it. So there you go.
And going then to tonight's show, at the ending, the way that this kind of closed, similarly, there were a lot of people who were teaching tricks. I mean, that was funny that you were doing that. That was something that hasn't been done before nor since. And tonight, similarly, we had a group of people who were lined up as a talent for this convention as lecturers or performers or whatever. And each shared, like, it wasn't really a pet effect, but it was just like a trick of whatever, whether it's going to be cards or coins or ropes or whatever. And there were about 12 or 13 of us, I guess, that each did that, and that lasted about an hour and a half or something. And
yeah, about 90 minutes, I think.
Yeah, I think there were only a couple people who left early, so I think everybody seemed to enjoy it.
They seemed to, and I think it's, they put together some great talent for this convention. I mean, they really blew it out for the last one. And why not take advantage of the fact that they're here? And they could share a story, they could share a trick, or just a quick little anecdote. And that was, I think, it was fun. It was a nice way to end the day.
And Stephen had a lot of funny stories he was telling in between as he was introducing people. And again, people who were up there with our Paul Wilson and Chris Capehart and John Archer, of course, Steve Beam and myself and. I'm leaving out a lot of people.
A lot of people.
It was just a lot of fun.
I never start something making that sounds like it's going to be a list because the memory doesn't support list making or list reading anymore.
Thank you.
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and the other thing you never do is you never say, well, there are five things that do such and such, and then you start, because you're going to get three deep and you're going to go, well, okay, now there are three things because they're no longer five. I can't remember them.
Yeah, well, you know, there are three kinds of people, those who can count and those who can't.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
Well, listen, Steve, thanks very much.
Hey, my pleasure always.
This has been a great convention. I'm looking forward to the next couple of days. And for those who are listening to this and you're anywhere in the area, I've already said this many times, that you should really come and see the rest of the convention. Tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, we'll begin with Chris Capehart doing his lecture. And then we've got just some other great talent and lineup and that goes on after that. Did I mention Giovanni and Jeff Hobson also did top stuff this evening?
Yeah. Yeah. John Archer, did you mention John?
Yeah, I mentioned John and John Allen. And it was just fun. And good evening and a good convention and good night. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate it.
Good night, Steve. And I think that's a wrap for the day. And I'm going to put this to bed and then myself, too. Maybe have a little glass of scotch as a nightcap. So, till tomorrow, that was Steve Beam. Scotty out.